I know it's Wednesday today, and it comes to the middle of the week, and everybody gets weaker. So, no, you guys are not. You're alert. I like that. How many of you like to read books or stories that have some kind of mystery in it? And as you read the book, the mystery or the story is kind of unfolding, and you start finding more and more, and the story becomes more interesting and interesting as you read a page after another page. What we have before us that we've been studying, called in the scripture a mystery. In Ephesians chapter 1, the church was a mystery. Mystery is not something that's mysterious and kind of scary. No, actually it was a secret. Something that was hidden in God before the world began. And now it is unfolded to us. And you and I have the privilege to sit together this week and to let the Spirit of God unfold to us this great mystery, this great wonderful thing that is called my assembly or the church of God. Ecclesia, called out people. We covered what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 16. I will build. He is the great architect of that great building. I will build my assembly. We know, we studied what is the foundation of that building. We also were alert to the fact that as that building is being built, the gates of Hades, all of the forces of evil will try to do whatever it takes and whatever it can to destroy it. And then we saw how is that unfolded before our eyes, how is that great living entity, organism is being put together. We went to the book of Acts. And we realize what the Apostle Paul said to the Corinthians, that by one Spirit we all baptized into one body and we all drank the same Spirit. How is that great building is going to be built? How is that unity going to be reformed? The first thing, Christ have to die for our sins, to save us, to make us fit for that great building. Christ also as a man has to go up to heaven, to be in heaven in the presence of God. And then he has to send a divine person, the Spirit of God, to come and unite those saved people together and unite them with himself to heaven. Man has been trying to do such a thing for many, many years. They're trying the United Nations, they tried the League of Nations, they tried the Tower of Babel, they've been trying the Conference of the American Countries, they're trying the G8, they're trying all of these things. Nothing is working. Do you see any unity in the world? Nothing is working at all. But look what God is doing now. He is united, saved people together by His Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, 2,000 some years ago, that started to take place. Now, to the people around, there was an astonishment. What's going on here? What is happening here? Something that they have never seen before have took place in Jerusalem. And Peter explained to them what have taken place. And he invited them. Repent. 3,000 people were added to that assembly that day. And as we go through the book of Acts, we will find how many more we're adding. But one thing to say, okay, I am saved, and because I am saved, I am part of the church. I don't get saved and said, okay, now where do I go to church? You are part of the church when you get saved, because the last verse in Acts chapter 2 tells us that the Lord added. So being part of it have nothing to do with you. Have nothing to do with me. I could not put you in the church and I could not take you away from the church. The Lord add those who are saved, who are believers to that body. The church, we said what the church is. The same word as the assembly. And we've been using the term the body. I want to give you two verses. You could write them down. That tells you that the church is his body. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Just write them down and you could read them later on. So you know when we talk about the church, the assembly are called out people. And then sometimes we say the body. The church and the body is the same thing. And verse 21 and 22 of Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that. The second verse that I want to tell you is in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. There you have also the church, which is his body. So the church is the body of Christ. In Acts chapter 2, that body, if you look at me, my body has a function, has a character. You look at me, I'm a living person, I have a character, I have a personality. You could look at me and say, okay, I know who he is, the way he acts, the way he conducts himself, the way he functions. And as the people in Jerusalem looked at the church of God, they said, okay, if you ask any of them, what are these people? They say, oh yeah, we know them. Those are the people that steadfastly, continuously, and in a tenacity, day in, day out, no deviation, are characterized by four things. They're all equal. They're all important. They have the same perspective. You cannot have one without having the other. You cannot have two. You cannot have three. Because look, if the Spirit of God, if the Lord wants us to have only two characteristics or one or three, he would have put one or two or three. But he put four. And these four are the apostle doctrines. Not just any doctrines. It is not brother so-and-so doctrines. It is the apostle doctrine. Those apostles were messengers. From the Lord they received teaching. And they are passing it unto you. And they are called apostles because they have the authority delivered to them from the Lord's hand. And we have heard that we get the teaching of the apostles in the epistles. Especially Paul's epistles. Fellowship. They were characterized by that. Breaking of the bread, the highest expression of fellowship. And prayer. These people express dependency upon the head because they are linked with the head. It's not a body without a head. And it's not a body with three heads. It's one head. And that's in heaven. The Spirit of God is that long, I told you, the tallest person in the universe is the church of God. The head is in heaven, the body is on earth, and that Spirit of God, that long neck, that unite the believers together and with the head in heaven. And that's what characterizes those believers. Well, great, wonderful. We are happy in Jerusalem. There is about 3,120 of us. Well, later on we have 5,000 also added. We are 8,120. That's wonderful. That's great. We are happy in Jerusalem. And I think that's the way it should be. Everybody follow the four characteristics. We're happy, we're breaking bread together, we're sharing everything together. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing that never happened before. And not only that, people have looked at it and fear came upon them when they see that. It was wonderful. Not only fear came upon them because they saw them speaking in tongues or doing miracles. No, because of these four characteristics. That's what characterized them. But not only that, these people were going out and preaching, telling everybody in their own language the Lord had given them to speak in a language that they have never learned. And people have heard these languages and they start getting and added to the church. Everything is happening in Jerusalem. And that will be good for all of us. But the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus, he said, I will build my church. And now here is again, that mystery that was hidden in God before the world began is unfolding before us. Now, we're going to find out that God, that the Lord Jesus have in mind not only those Jews in Jerusalem, but he had others in mind too, that did not really came to the mind of the apostles. We will read about these other people, and we will get into these group. One thing I want us to be aware of, that we need to kind of give some times between comments. Sometimes it's wonderful to know the word of God, and we get a little bit excited, and you know we start talking, but we just want to be alert of that. Let's just hold, you know, a second after somebody made a comment, think about it, and then if you give room for somebody to speak. So that's an admonishment to all of us. Right? So now we're going to move, Chuck, I think, to chapter 8.